Have you heard or personally known of a home that's been torn apart, destroyed by kindness? How about one turned upside down by bitterness and anger? Now, most likely, you have not heard of a divorce resulting from kindness, have you? However, we have all heard of the destructive power. We've heard the report of what bitterness and anger has done to the home. Have we not? We've all heard that. We don't need family counselors, nor do we need psychology professors to help us understand and to know that kindness strengthens the home. Nor do we need them to tell us that bitterness leads to destruction, do we? We don't need that. We know this to be true in our own personal lives, in our homes, and also in our church family. You know, sometimes we forget, we just sang a few moments ago, the family of God. The same facts apply here. And if they apply here rightly, they apply in the home. Do you know that? Because, see, they're all God's principles. God's principles. You see, we know that attitudes and actions are powerful. They're powerful either to build up our relationship in the home and in society, are they not? We know that. And I believe you understand that fact this morning and the importance of your attitudes and actions. In addition, I believe that that's why you're here this morning. That's why you're here this morning, because you understand that your attitudes make a difference. And you're here this morning because you want your attitudes, your actions, to build and to strengthen your home. Is that not right? Isn't that what you want? To strengthen and build your home. That's why I believe you came this morning. Seeking. Now note the word seeking. It doesn't mean we yet got there. You know the difference between seeking and getting there? We're still on the way. So seeking to overcome the destructive actions and attitudes in our own lives that hurt others. Do you know what? Most of our complaining and grumbling in the home is not about how bad I am. Now come on. Who's it about? The others. That's right. But listen, I believe you're seeking this morning to find a way to avoid those destructive attitudes and actions that hurt and find the power. Do you know what Paul wrote to Timothy? He said, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we can be the people God wants us to be here and at home as well. You see, we come together as followers of the Lord Jesus to find counsel in our hearts that will encourage us and will enable us to be the Christians in our home and also in our neighborhood and in our church. You won't find much argument here, at least. That you're not going to find much help in society, in the newspaper, and in the books you read to build up and strengthen the home. You won't. But you will find it among fellow believers and in the Word of God. You say, well, why? Because the family was and is God's plan. That's why. The family was and still is God's plan. for his society. See, the Apostle Paul here in the fifth chapter of Galatians is addressing relationships. Now, these relationships are within the church. The fellowship of the church is how he is writing to this church. However, they apply to us in everyday life. Because, see, he's just addressing the idea of being a Christian. That's what it is. Just being a Christian. Following Christ. And they were needful and important because of the sinful society out of which these men and women had come. And it is still true, is it not? Because all around us are the pull away from the things of God, right? So we still need the same kind of encouragement in this world in which you and I live today. See, this is God's Word. That's what Paul was penning, God's Word for them and for us. And it applies to all of Christian life, not just to part of it. See, we're not to be controlled by our former old self, nor are we to be persuaded by the influences around us. Paul is saying that we must live according to the new life that is in Christ, according to the new life found in Christ. Now, here in Galatians 5, Paul points out several very important factors that will help us to better live the Christian life. And they're vital. They're vital and important in building not only our relationship with God, but our relationship with one another. It's very important we understand that this relationship is most close in the home, right? It also rubs in the church. You see, relationships. Well, what do we need? First of all, we need enduring love. That's what we find here in the fifth chapter. And I'm going to begin with verse 13. And I'm not going to read it just all at once. But I want us to understand that love, enduring love. Notice the difference. Now, the Bible talks about God loves us with what kind of love? Temporary? Everlasting. That's enduring love. Enduring love. Listen to what he says in verse 13. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But listen to this. But through love, serve one another." I'm not your slave. Have you ever said that, folks? Serve one another with love. In love. Forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave us. Have you ever said an unkind word that needed some forgiveness? Well, so have others. And the Bible says this enduring love speaks to that. Enduring love. Love that sustains even when there may be a little flame of fire burning. Puts it out. See, love covers a multitude of sin, the Bible says. Listen to verse 14. For the whole law is filled in one word. The statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love that goes around. Now listen to these words from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. He said, love bears all things. Means it puts up with a lot. Believes all things. Things are going to get better. Hopes all things. Dreams will come true. Endures all things. Love never fails. That's what he's saying. This is the enduring kind of love. Doesn't say puppy love. Doesn't say emotions, feelings. Says love. Committed love. Agape love. That's what the Bible uses the word. And then it closes. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians closes with these words. It says, but now abides faith, hope, and love. And he says, and the greatest of these is what? Say it again. Love. The greatest of these is love. That's right, love. Love. And there also must be respect for one another. Respect for each other in the home and in our relationships, in the church, everywhere, we must have it. What does he say here? Listen to what he says in verse 15. He said, but if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. What hurts the most? Somebody has said, sticks and stones may break my bones. But boy, let somebody cut you down. Hurts pretty bad, doesn't it? Many times friends have been separated for the rest of their life by some bitter word. Why? Because it consumed their relationship. And that's what he's saying. You got to be respectful. Respect those in the home. Children respect their parents. Parents respecting their children. Husbands and wives. Respect. Respect for one another. He said, rather than letting our tongues loose, the last of the fruit of the Spirit, it really, that's all big one, is self-control. Most of us have trouble with a loose tongue. Go ahead and hold up your hand if you don't ever. I don't see any hands. You see, we have trouble with that loose tongue, don't we? Well, we need to allow God to control it. Oh, incidentally, the good thing about, I don't know if we can say good thing, Pastor, but you and I are preachers of the Word, not of our perfection. Did you hear what I said? We're preachers of the Word of God, which is perfect, and who is perfect, not our perfection. You don't expect perfection out of your pastor, but God is perfect, and He's in the business of helping us become more like Him, isn't it? That's what he's doing. Therefore, he says, rather than consuming one another with our bitterness and anger, he said, be led by the Spirit of purity, the Spirit of holiness. And we're going to read some of the things that make up this world that draws us down in just a moment. As we realize that we must recognize and resist fleshly passions and desires. Recognize and resist. Sometimes we know, we don't resist, right? But listen to what he says of these violent and I believe destructive as we read verse 17 and following. He says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. He says, for these, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. In other words, you may want to do the right things in your home, but he says, remember, these desires pull you away from doing the right thing. We need to understand that the power there is strong. And he said, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, it's not just because you have to, but because God's Spirit is working in you. In you. He said, I am come to live within you so that you may experience my presence. That's the difference between legal and grace. God's working in your heart. Now listen to what he said you need to be aware of. Guard against and resist. He said, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Most of us don't need a lot of biography on that stuff, do we? We don't need a lot of outlines on it. However, he says very clearly, and he's talking to Christians, folks. He said, be on guard to these things. He said, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, he's pretty clear. And you know, we need clarity, don't we, sometimes? Just to say, hey, this is not best for you. It's not good for your home. We as Christians come out of a world that is totally opposite. That's what he said. He said one works against the other, doesn't he? God's way is opposed to Satan's way. So we need to know God's way and be aware of the devil's plan and how he decides and deceives. That's what he's saying. Let's remember that these are violently destructive things, actions, attitudes that are totally, completely opposite of the new life in Christ. And remember, Paul said that you're a new creature. These old things are to be passing away, and the new is to come, and they are from God. If we just remember that, they're from the Lord. From the Lord. He says these are no longer to rule over our life. We're now under the lordship of Christ. But do you remember when he started this little section, he said that you are free? When are we going to understand as Christians that we're free under Christ? That means we're free to live for him, but also as human beings, we often freely choose to live opposite. I don't think many of us really want to say that that's what happens to us, but that's exactly what does happen. We choose the wrong instead of the right. You see, we still choose our attitudes and actions, don't you? How many times, let's just be honest. Things are getting kind of hot in the house. Oh, I think I better stop and pray and ask God what I ought to say. Is that what we do? Not likely. Not likely. We just freely choose what we want to do. So we need to understand that God gives us a choice. And Paul is saying here, make sure you choose wisely. Choose wisely to disregard the evil that wants to destroy us and choose the good that will build up our home. Don't let Satan and the sinful world confuse you. Recognize the danger and run. Do you know what? The only time the Bible talks about running is when it's talking about sin. Flee the devil. Run. Run. Run to God. That's what he's saying. Run from the devil and run to God. That's what he says in this next verse. For run to the Lord and receive and activate the fruit of the Spirit. It will revolutionize your life and your home. Your life and your home. Listen to these words and see if you don't agree that it will make a difference in everything you do and say. And it's a very short phrase, short verse. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Not yet, anyway, praise God. No law against them. Because, see, they build up. They strengthen us individually and as a family, as a church. And notice it says the fruit. So it's just one big cluster. Not a whole bunch of separates out there, fruits. No, it's just one big cluster of God's fruit coming in our lives. Coming in our lives. That's what he wants to do. And listen, folks, as we allow him, that's the reason I began with the word, have any of you heard of kindness destroying? How about goodness? How about patience? Oh, how about being controlled? You see, we understand the difference, don't we? We understand the difference. And he's saying, let the difference be following him, following him. And then he says, finally, remember who you are. Remember who you are and be a home builder. That's what he says. Remember who you are and be a home builder. Listen to verse 24. He said, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its pleasures and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. You don't have to be on top all the time, he's saying. But rather remember who you are. You've been crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. He said, now those who have belonged to Christ have crucified the flesh. Maybe we would better understand it if we say allowing God, because of his crucifixion, to overcome our passions and desires. See, we must remember who we are because we're children of God. Children of God. The truth is, we're often disobedient children, are we not? Disobedient. Making up our own rules and following the ways of the world. So easy to do. Oh, you deserve more than this. They shouldn't treat you this way. You're certainly within your rights. Following the rules of others. The license plate frame on Mom's car reads, he died for me. I'll live for him. Listen again to the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. The only victory is Jesus. The strength of our home is Jesus. The counsel for leadership in our home, right here. He says, by faith, now I live by faith. My challenge to you this morning is by faith. Allow the Lord Jesus to live and rule in your heart and in your home. Allow him. For without him, you can do nothing. But through him, you can do all things, trusting him. Trusting him. You know, your home this morning may need some repair work. Is it possible? 1958, Billy Graham Crusade, San Francisco, Cow Palace. Couple was there. A couple who were seminary students. Delano and Willie McMahon. They were counselors. And that night, a couple came. Willie counseled the lady. Unbelievable. Delano, the husband. Now, they didn't come together. As a matter of fact, they were going to get a divorce. Because of God's power, they reconcile. The story didn't end at the crusade because Delano and Willene were invited to their home for dinner. Listen, folks, there's power in the presence of God in your home. Will you let Him be in charge? Let's stand together. We're going to sing. And if God is speaking to your heart, the pastor's going to be here waiting. And maybe you need to make a decision today. Let God rule in your home.